Welcome, everyone, to the fourth episode of the Super Mario Bros. Supper Show podcast. Unlike the previous three episodes, which took an immense amount of research and resulted in scripts that met the technical requirements for word count of novels, being over 40,000 words long, these new weekly podcasts will be briefer and focus only on a single topic. I hope this will both make the podcast less of a commitment to listen to, as well as enable the schedule to be upheld without issues in the future. Before we begin, let me note that the introduction music used at the beginning of the podcast is not from any Mario game, but rather composed by me specifically for use in Super Mario Bros. Audio material. Secondly, I would like to remind all listeners that I respond to feedback very promptly. I would truly appreciate anyone who has a problem with the sound quality, download, or any other aspect of this podcast to contact me over any of my social media accounts so I can be made aware of the problem and take steps to rectify it. With that, let us begin. Today's topic is The Lost Humans of Isle Delfino. Isle Delfino, the tropical vacation destination that sets the stage for Super Mario Sunshine, has become a mainstay of the Mario franchise over the years. The island, while locations heavily implied to be on that island, have appeared in the Mario Kart series, the Mario Party series, Mario Power Tennis, Fortune Street, and of course its most famous appearance outside of Super Mario Sunshine itself, the Delfino Plaza stage that has appeared in Super Smash Bros. Brawl, Super Smash Bros. For Wii U, and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Through all of these portrayals, we know what kind of friendly species populate the island, the plant-headed Piantas and the mollusk-like Nokis. The only human that is present on the island when Mario and Peach arrive is Il Piantissimo, who wears a Pianta disguise. However, this almost complete lack of humans was not always intended. The very first time Super Mario Sunshine was revealed to the public was at the Space World Expo in Japan in 2001, where a 45-second trailer of the game was shown. The trailer showcased two locations, Delfino Plaza and Bianco Hills. Both locations looked wildly different from the finished game. Instead of Delfino Plaza having its famous squarish layout, the buildings were curved and aligned in concentric semicircles. Bianco Hills is nearly unrecognizable, with houses that resemble Californian beachfront property much more than Mediterranean architecture as in the finished game. In fact, that area being an early version of Bianco Hills is pure speculation, resting on the observation that there is a hill in the back of the level. The trailer contains an unused enemy, early Pianta designs, a much more elaborate Isle Delfino skybox, and more. Unfortunately, no high-definition footage of that trailer seems to exist. Nintendo did not release a video file officially, with the only surviving footage originating from handheld camcorders operated by attendees of the event. Thus, almost everything we can see on screen is blurred severely. Nevertheless, even with the low quality, there is one point of particular interest that is visible for a few frames and will be the central concern of this podcast. At around 10 seconds into the trailer, Mario runs past a character missing from the finished game, and not even present as an unused model in its data. That character appears to be a human woman standing near a building in Delfino Plaza. She's wearing a long light blue dress and a straw hat. She appears to have light skin and dark hair, although due to being in the shade and the aforementioned low quality, the exact colors are impossible to determine. Her face is completely blurred, letting us see no features whatsoever. We can tell that she is slightly taller than Mario, but slightly shorter than Princess Peach. She is standing motionless while looking in the general direction of Mario, though not at Mario himself. What she is doing with her arms, or whether she is holding anything, is again not visible due to her arms blending into her dress. This is the extent of the information we can take from the trailer, and indeed the extent of all information we have about the character. She was not present in any of the later trailers or official screenshots, and Nintendo never mentioned her in any official capacity. With most other characters exclusive to trailers, this would be the end, an interesting oddity that ultimately goes nowhere. However, there is potentially much more to this character. The answer lies within unused text in the data of Super Mario Sunshine. Before I start discussing the text, I would like to thank and give credit to the TCRF.net wiki users who have discovered it and translated it from the original Japanese. The discovery was made by user CeilingFan, while the translation is by users Glitterberry and MarioNova. Without their hard work, all this content would remain unknown. There exists a text file, or rather four duplicates of a text file called Dolpic1 in the data. Dolpic is a reference to the Japanese name of Delfino Plaza, Dolphic Town. However, in-game, Dolphic seems to always be spelled as Dolpic. This applies both to internal names and to one instance of it actually being visible during an average playthrough, A poster that needs to be destroyed in episode 3 of Serena Beach depicts an aerial photo of Isle Delfino with graffiti of a boo drawn over it. Underneath, it reads Dolpic. What slightly muddles the affair is where exactly the text file is found. All 4 copies of it are inside folders belonging to Pinna Park Beach. However, due to the name Dolpic 1 and the fact that the text itself does not mention anything related to the beach and seems to take part inside a town, we can be positive that the intended location of the events described therein is Delfino Plaza or an early version of it rather than Pinna Park Beach. The text refers to a wide variety of concepts no longer available in the finished game, which is why I will provide an explanation after each segment of text I read. Please note that although the English version was provided by competent translators, the fact remains that it is a translation of context-less text that would likely mean something different if we had access to the visuals that were intended to go along with it. With all this, let us begin reading and analyzing the text. The first passage is by a character called Mumsy. More on what this means later. You there, are you from the hotel? So, someone finally showed up. The train to the hotel left without us. What do we do with all this luggage? You say that I should take it? Well, how appallingly rude. Never mind that. We've no time for this. I'll make a complaint when we reach the hotel. Now then, listen carefully. In the midst of these unthinkable events, my darling daughter, Nico, went missing. You there. Yes, you. Leave our luggage till later. I said leave it. Now, that is a lot of information that has no equivalent in the finished game to be dumped all in one text box. The most notable aspect is the train. Mumsy mentions that there is a train to the hotel, presumably Hotel Delfino, although unused text in other parts of the data suggests that there was a second hotel called Hotel Lacrima, meaning tear in Italian as well. The train system is perhaps the most significant feature of the game that is known to have existed, but then cut from the finished version. Apparently, at some point early in development, the primary means of accessing the parts of Isle Delfino was not paint portals, warp pipes, or a cannon to Pinna Park, but a sprawling railway system. One of the files contains a list of the train stations that were presumably programmed at some point. The list includes locations from the finished game, Delfino Plaza, Bianco Hills, Rico Harbor, Gelato Beach, Pinna Park, Serena Beach, Hotel Delfino, Pianta Village, and Corona Mountain. Some locations have slightly different names, such as Noki Village instead of Noki Bay. Finally, there are locations completely missing from the release, being the aforementioned Hotel Lacrima, Eruit Rock, Warship Island, Fire Shrine, and Lighthouse Island. Of these, Hotel Lacrima, Eruit Rock, Warship Island, and Fire Shrine are found in a debug level select menu as well, meaning these locations were likely at some point at least in the design phase, if not playable. So, from what we can tell based on the available information, Mumsy is stranded in Delfino Plaza with her family's luggage since she missed the train to either Hotel Delfino or Hotel Lacrima. She assumes Mario to be staff sent from the hotel to help. It is unknown if this is a misconception on her part or if Mario was in fact taking on a temporary job from the hotel. Mumsy says her daughter, Nico, went missing. The next text box is her asking Mario to help. Look for my daughter, right away! Yes or no are given as answers. Selecting yes makes Mumsy say, good, I'm counting on you. Please, you simply must bring my daughter back to me. While selecting no brings up this. What's that? Are my ears playing tricks on me? Now, let us take a step back and re-examine who Mumsy and Nico might be, as well as Nico's father, Daddy, whose text is located later in the file. It is clear that they are tourists, and as such not native to the island. However, the only character we saw in the trailer that looks not native to the island was the human woman. Of course, the point can be made that we could have simply not seen the characters these are supposed to be, and the human is unrelated. There is no completely conclusive evidence for this. However, as we will see over the course of this text, the characters certainly make a lot of sense if we imagine them as human family. And there is plenty of circumstantial clues that the human was most likely Nico. Although it could have been Mumsy, this is less likely due to the character's fashion and stature resembling a younger girl more than an older woman. Of course, this is all based off common character design archetypes and may not apply in this case specifically. Continuing talking to Mumsy after she asks for help searching for Nico will prompt her to say this. Time is of the essence. While you stand here yammering, my Nico, she... The sentence is cut off with a hyphen. I must note that I'm merely making guesses as to where the text would be used based on its order in the file and the context of the messages. In the data, there is no code that would indicate when any of this text would have been intended to display. Presumably, talking to her a second time will make her say, "What are you doing? Haven't you found my daughter yet? Do try and work for your wages." Nearly all of the characters in this text file act as though Mario is an employee of the hotel. However, with a relatively common trope among Mario games of characters mistaking who Mario is or what his goals are due to him almost never talking, this may be a running gag of misinterpretation. The next line seemed to be from later on during the quest. Here is Mumsy complaining about a missing bag. "Oh, we had another big bag that belonged to us too. Just wonderful, those useless fools." This seems to imply there was a bag belonging to the family that was lost by the hotel staff. Perhaps it was another small part of the quest to find the bag and bring it back to Mumsy. Given how Mario can carry relatively large objects like barrels by hoisting them over his shoulder in this game, it seems reasonable to assume he would be carrying the bag the same way. The next line seems to be after the bag is returned and Mumsy is waiting for the train. "I had everything organized so nicely. Just where in the world is that train?" The problem here is that this comes before the dialogue of Nico reuniting with Mumsy. There are three options here. Either the dialogue is out of order, or Mumsy mainly wants to get to the hotel and the search for Nico is secondary, or the train is chartered and will not leave until everyone is ready. Given the fact that the quest seems to start due to the family missing the train, the last one is not very likely. The next line is Mumsy reuniting with Nico. "Oh, my sweet little Nico, Mumsy was so worried about you. Oh my, what on earth are you eating?" The line about Nico eating something is the first in a very long line of references to ice cream. It appears that ice cream is the most important part of this quest, with much of the dialogue implying that Mario can carry it around. The line after this is actually said by Nico. I assume that due to these playing in order as part of a cutscene without any input from the player other than advancing the text here is an order in which it would be displayed rather than being sorted by character as in the rest of the file. "Oh, hi, Mum. What are you doing here? And where'd Dad go anyway?" This appears to be chronologically the first mention of Daddy in the dialogue, whom Nico calls Dad. Note also that she calls Mumsy Mum. This is referenced in her reply. "Nico, my darling, do call me Mumsy. No more of this Mum business. You make me sound like an old hag." The idea that Mum is a nickname reserved for older people does not really exist in English, and I presume this is an attempt by the TCRF.net translators to preserve at least some semblance of coherence in what is likely Japanese cultural term-based dialogue. Then Nico replies, "All right, I remember now. Dad's off buying some ice cream. I'd completely forgotten. Ha ha ha." This is another reference to the whereabouts of Daddy. It is likely that this line starts the search for him. Then Mumsy stops Nico to conclude this part of the quest to give Mario some sort of reward. "In any case, you there, here's your tip. It's not much, but here you are nonetheless." The fact that Mumsy says it's not much, to me suggests that the reward is not a shine sprite, as in-game characters do not usually devalue shine sprites by suggesting they are a small reward. What it could be instead is a blue coin, or most likely one or a few soul coins. Soul coins were an object that existed in that version of the game. The trailer shows a counter in the bottom left with a picture of a coin with a sun design on it. While the sun doesn't have the same eyes as a shine sprite, the stylized rays do not resemble those of the shine sprite and are instead curved. We do not see any of those coins in the world, only a counter. At this point, Mumsy's dialogue ends, save for a brief segment in a later cutscene with Daddy, and dialogue of an unrelated NPC known only as Pianta begins. Here is his first line. "What? No, I wasn't nodding off. I was inspecting this here floodgate. This gate's no good anymore, you see. It's all falling apart, you see. It's in need of some serious repair work, you could say." I am assuming the Pianta is male, due to this NPC clearly being some kind of mechanic or repairman, and the finished game containing dedicated male Pianta mechanic NPCs maintaining the cannons, who even say very similar dialogue about mechanisms being broken, which I believe is where this NPC was relocated during development. Of course, this is speculation, and the Pianta could be female as well. Then the Pianta says this, "If only I had something slippery and slimy, then I could get it to work again, I bet." Now, this is complete speculation on my part, but I believe this Pianta is talking about the ice cream. As will be visible in Daddy's dialogue later on, Mario is heavily implied to be able to carry ice cream, and the ice cream is mentioned to melt several times. Obviously, melted ice cream fits the description of being slippery and slimy, although I am having difficulties imagining how exactly smearing this on a floodgate could cause it to begin working. Still, this seems to be the most likely scenario given the information in the unused text. The Pianta's next three messages seem to be after the gate is fixed. Disappointingly, these do not reveal what it was fixed with. That's perfect. I think it will work now. Thanks to your help, mister, I managed to get it working. You have my thanks. It's fine now, you see. Works like a charm, you see. So, what do you want to do? The last line seems to be leading into a prompt. The next messages in the file are attributed to system, which most likely means it would appear in a box like the save and continue message after getting a shine sprite, and not come from an NPC. The system says, the gate's open right now. Two options are given, close it or leave it. The next message is obviously the same for when the gate is closed. The gate's closed right now. The options here are predictably, open it or leave it. Unfortunately, it is not visible from the rest of the text what the floodgate would be used for, and the finished game contains no floodgates or flooding mechanics of any kind, ironically, regarding the water pack's name, is Flood. After this, Nico's messages begin. Her first one, presumably upon encountering her for the first time, is very long, same as Mumsy's first message. Huh? Oh, it's still light outside. I was eating ice cream when suddenly everything went dark. Who are you anyhow? Oh, that hat. Must be from the hotel. You're a bellboy, right? Huh? My mother? She's waiting for me at the station? With a pile of luggage? Here is another reference to the ice cream. It appears that in nearly all scenes, Nico is eating ice cream. A scene with the scene where Mumsy asks her what she is eating. This would be a good place to bring up the fact that there exists an unused object in the game's files that is relevant to all this, an ice cream cart. The cart is seen very briefly in the same trailer the human was, which is another point in favor of the theory that it might be Nico. A point not in favor of it is that the human in the trailer is not eating ice cream, although she may be holding it in her hand, which would be too blurred to be visible. The ice cream cart is also found in the debug testing room, where it becomes apparent that the roof is bouncy, like many other awnings in the game. Inside the cart are three cones of ice cream that seem to be the perfect size to fit into Mario's hand for him to carry around. Unfortunately, there exists no code to let him interact with the cones. Another thing briefly mentioned by Nico is everything suddenly going dark. This does not correspond to any events in the finished game. The closest that happens is the sky darkening slightly in Delfina Plaza due to the shine sprites disappearing. This results in light conditions close to being in shade rather than everything going dark. Of course, this could be Nico overreacting. Finally, there is the sentence where Nico says, "Oh, that hat must be from the hotel." It is unclear if she misinterprets Mario's regular hat for a bellhop hat, again something that would be par for the course in the Mario franchise, or if Mario was intended to wear an actual bellhop hat at some point in the game. If that is true, that would have given more purpose to the fact that Mario can in fact lose his hat in the finished game, which is only used in Pinna Park Beach during episodes where it does not need to be explored. It would then also be likely that Mario could wear different hats based on different jobs he would be taking, almost like a prototype version of Super Mario Odyssey's outfits. After this, Nico asks Mario, "Lame, no chance you'll leave me alone?" The options given are yes and no. It is unclear which of the following messages would display if yes is chosen, as they all seem to imply Mario chose no. Here are the messages. "You're not exactly accommodating, huh? I'm not going anywhere, though. If you think you can move me, come on and give it your best shot. Hey, I'm not finished eating yet. I'll go once I'm finished eating. Don't tell my mom, okay?" It is unclear whether this implies that Nico will leave when some story flag is set, or whether Mario must actually physically move Nico from her place as suggested by the first line. In the finished game, there are no mechanics regarding to moving NPCs, with the two options to move objects being grabbing and spraying objects with water, neither of which seem likely to be intended to be used on Nico. Stepping back from the idea that the family are humans, it could theoretically be possible that there are different species that is shaped like something Mario could either easily grab or something round that Mario could easily push around with Flood. The only mention of any of their anatomy is that they have hands, which is not enough to imagine anything specific short of ruling out Goombas and similar species. Then, the next line seems to be Nico asking for help finding Daddy. "Hey, Mr. Bellboy, I'm asking you this. My dad went to go buy some ice cream, but he hasn't come back yet. So, like, I went to look for him and all, right? But, well, it's just that I wasn't too sure about my mom, you know? But you get it, right? The favor I'm asking?" With the next line being a prompt. "Go look for my dad, okay?" To which the answers are okay and no. Choosing no, presumably, makes Nico reply with, "What? But how come? I thought we were friends." While choosing yes results in, "My dad is totally hopeless when it comes to directions. There's no way you'll find him anywhere normal." And the following message: "My dad's managed to get himself lost over and over again in the same town. He's totally useless. Anyway, take your time looking for him." I cannot quite place what would cause Nico to go from talking about the ice cream to asking about her father, and whether she would need to be physically moved to do so. It seems that she does not want to meet Mumsy before Daddy is found. It also seems she has a low opinion of both her parents. Here, Nico's section ends, and Daddy's begins. Here is his introductory speech. "You there, you must be from the hotel." And then you have me. "Just look at me, standing here in distress with both hands full of ice cream, unable to open the door. My daughter begged me, please, Daddy, so that's how I ended up in this position. Anyway, hate to trouble you, but won't you please open this door for me? Then I'll be able to get out of here." This is intriguing due to Daddy obviously being trapped inside some sort of closed room. The only such rooms that appear in the finished version of Delfino Plaza are the insides of the two towers by the shore, which must be broken into with the turbo nozzle. However, what is even more interesting is that Mario was able to enter the room without automatically enabling Daddy to exit. Thus, the door could not have been simply locked, as it would stay unlocked after Mario entered, but would need to have some automatic self-locking mechanism. Let's take a look at Daddy's next lines. "Oi, you there. I asked you to open the door. I didn't tell you to shut it. Oh, it's no use. The ice cream will surely melt at this rate, and my daughter's out there waiting for me. Could it be? Is this it? Is this the end? Have I finally gotten stranded?" It appears that Mario somehow inadvertently shut the door behind himself as he entered. There is one thing in the finished game that works similar to this, which is what I believe the situation is also based on. The doors in Hotel Delfino that only have a handle on one side, but not on the other. Mario can walk through the door in one direction, but is locked out from the other. It appears that Daddy is trapped on the other side of the door with a one-way handle, and when Mario enters, the door shuts behind him. The next line also suggests the door is special. "Very well, go on and show me how a professional would handle this door." The implication here is that the door presents such a problem that a professional is needed to open it. The next line seems to be after Daddy's problem is solved and he sees Mario again somewhere. "Oh, it's that guy from the hotel. So, you're gonna get some ice cream? It'll melt if you're not careful, though." For some reason, there are no lines of Daddy reacting to his trouble being solved. These were likely either cut or not finalized. This is the line that implies Mario can carry around ice cream, which will melt, tying into the floodgate section from earlier. The next section is a cutscene involving the entire family. Nico says, "Oh, there you are, Dad, welcome back." Daddy replies, "Nico, stop that at once. Please, you simply must call me Daddy like you usually do." This seems to be another one of the untranslatable Japanese cultural references. Then Mumsy says, "Dear, just how many times do you need to get lost before you're satisfied? You don't need to be embarrassed. Next time you plan on getting stranded, at least say something to me beforehand." Daddy replies, "Oh, Mumsy, my beloved Mumsy, I brought some ice cream for you too. Here you are, eat up." To this, Mumsy replies, "But it's all melted." Daddy says, "Yes, by the heat of my love for you." Mumsy declines, "Well, I don't want it." Finally, Daddy appears to turn to Mario and deliver the closing line of this quest. "Oh, well, this is what you'd call my family, I guess. Thank you very much, mister. Oh, right, your tip. I didn't forget, really." This suggests that with this reward, at least the part of the quest regarding getting the family together would be over. The following is pure speculation. But we can imagine that there would be additional quests involving the family as they arrive at the hotel, since this ice cream quest already sets up strong personalities for each of them. Mumsy seems to be bossy and rude to Mario, but nice to Nico. Daddy seems to be a melodramatic but incompetent father who easily gets lost and is nice to everyone, and Nico seems to be aloof towards both Mario and her parents. It is easily imagined how these personalities can be used to create more scenarios where Mario must solve the family's problems. The next two sections of the text concern two characters who seem to be unconnected to the family, like the pianta mechanic. The first one is called Rowney. It is entirely unclear who Rowney might be or what species he could belong to, except that his speech style, the mention of a teacher, and the phrase Scout's Honor imply that he is young and possibly some sort of Boy Scout or similar. Rowney seems to be easily scared, but owns a strange item called the Reverse Nozzle. There is no such nozzle in the finished game, but one line suggests it may be a nozzle similar to the turbo nozzle in at least one of its functions. Here is Rowney's introduction. "Hey, Mr. Mustache, where do I find the station? My teacher said to go there if we get lost. Oh, and Mr. Mustache, I've got a favor to ask. I'm here all on my own, so won't you walk with me to the station?" The last one is a prompt with yes and no as the answers. Choosing no presumably has Rowney reply. "It's true what my teacher said. The world's a pretty unforgiving place." This is a rather dramatic response to being denied to be led to a train station by a stranger, so it may be an unrelated line. However, it is positioned in the same way after a prompt as the other no responses. Here is what he says if yes is chosen. "You're a good guy, Mr. Mustache. I'll do my best to follow you. Just don't leave me behind, okay? Oh yeah, you can also use this, but promise me you'll give it back after, okay? Scout's honor." Then there's a system message. "You borrowed the reverse nozzle. You've promised to return it later." With a name like Reverse Nozzle, it is very difficult to imagine what it may do. Since Rowney lets Mario borrow it for the duration of being led to the station, we can assume it is used somehow to help Rowney either move around or stay close to Mario. Since Rowney said, "Walk with me," it is likely that he can in fact walk by himself, so he would not need to be pushed. Thus, the reverse nozzle may be used to pull him close to Mario so he does not wander off. In this way, perhaps the reverse nozzle is a type of vacuum, like the poltergust from the Luigi's Mansion series. This would explain the name at least slightly. Since regular nozzles expel water, the reverse nozzle would intake water, or if used outside of water, it would intake air, acting as a vacuum. The next line seems to be Rowney reappearing at his starting point if Mario fails to lead him to the station. How Mario can fail is unclear. Perhaps Rowney can fall into water, or somehow explodes if he hits a wall. The last suggestion is not an exaggeration. After all, Yoshi disintegrates in the finished game when touching water. It would not be illogical to assume some NPCs could do the same when touching any obstacle whatsoever. How'd they get back here, you ask? That's a good question. These things just happen sometimes, you know? Anyway, pull yourself together and let's head to the station. The next line seems to be for when Rowney is left too far away from Mario for an extended time. Oh man, that was scary. I hate being by myself. Hey, are we at the station yet? Here is a line that appears to be displayed when Mario breaks the reverse nozzle. This is also suggested by a system message later. Huh? Where's the reverse nozzle? There you go. Don't lose it again, okay? Scout's honor. When Rowney is taken to the station, he will say this. We're here, we're here. This is it, Mr. Mustache. We made a good team, didn't we? You know what? You can hold on to my nozzle. Scout's honor. Upon which there is a system message. You received the reverse nozzle. Now you can use it whenever. However, if it gets damaged, it'll break. It is again not clear what is meant by gets damaged. In the finished game, there is no way for Flood to get damaged. Only Mario is damaged by enemies and obstacles. Perhaps this was another scrap mechanic. Interestingly, there is one spot in the trailer where Flood does not have a nozzle. The water meter is also absent at this time. This is likely an example of what it would have looked like if Flood's nozzle was damaged to the point of breaking. When Rowney is approached later, he will say this. Oh, Mr. Mustache, have you been using my nozzle? If you use the reverse nozzle during a foot race, you'll be able to go super fast. Have you tried it? This is the part that, to me, suggests that this could have been an early concept for the turbo nozzle. It makes some limited amount of cartoon logic to imagine going faster by vacuuming in the air in front of you, since vacuuming in the air in front of a boat is often shown to make the boat go faster in cartoons, also seen in Luigi's Mansion 3 with the rubber duck floaties. And this is an extension of that idea. Finally, the last part of the text deals with the mayor of Delfino Plaza. You may notice that no such mayor exists in the finished game. The only mayor is the one of Pianta Village, while Delfino Plaza has no visible governing entity, although the court scene and presence of police suggest some form of government is present. We can assume the mayor is a Pianta, although he could also be of a different species, since this is never exactly stated. Here is his introduction. Ha ha! Master Mustache? I thought you were returning home to your own country with the children. Goodness, what a help you've been. Just look at this state of affairs. Why, it's horrible. At this rate, our annual tourism rating will be a big fat zero. This year will mark the end of a decade-long five-star streak. Oh, how could this be? And it just had to happen while I was mayor. Why, oh why? But goodness me, this will never do. It's not the time and place for me to bellyache, is it? The only lead we have regarding this is Yoshiaki Koizumi, director of the game, stating that before finalizing the game's plot, it revolved around not collecting shines, but solving individual problems in towns all around Isle Delfino. It is completely unclear who the children are that the mayor is referring to, or what the trouble actually is. In fact, although the mayor has many lines, none of them state anything about the problem other than the fact that there is a problem. Here is the next line. Master Mustache, I will no longer entreat you as a volunteer, I beg you. Please turn Delfino Plaza back into the beautiful town it once was. The responses, as usual, are yes and no. Selecting no gets this reply. Oh goodness me, Master, you mustn't say such things. We're counting on that flood. While selecting yes gets this. Goodness me, you have my thanks. Please, for the sake of our ratings, no, for the safety of the town. The next line is likely after Mario has solved the unstated problem. Oh goodness me, Master Mustache, the results for Delfino Plaza's annual tourism rating just came in. It's a whopping 5 stars, goodness me, thank you, we owe it all to you, Mr. Mustache. Oh, I'm so glad I'm mayor. You have my thanks, Master Mustache. This is the town's way of showing our gratitude. Please keep it quiet. This would likely be an instance of Mario receiving a major reward, like a shine sprite, although it is not clear why the mayor would not want to publicly thank Mario, instead asking him to keep it quiet. Then there is this enigmatic line, which seems to be written as vaguely as possible. Oh no, this problem caused even more problems, but what caused the problem? After this, the mayor is either unavailable or in a mental state where he refers to himself in the third person. Although the line is attributed to the mayor in the data, here is what it says. I'm terribly sorry, but the mayor simply isn't in a condition to speak with anyone right now. We ask for your understanding during this time of crisis. This sounds like an assistant telling Mario about the mayor, but the fact that it is attributed to the mayor himself raises questions as to how this would look in-game. Would the mayor be shivering in the corner in a fetal position, or be despondently lying in bed when saying it? The next line seems to be after Mario solves the second problem, again referencing the unexplained children. Huh? Master Mustache? What happened? Are the children safe? But goodness me, sir, please lend me your ear. The results for Delfino Plaza's tourism rating just came in. Yes, it's the traditional tourism rating that happens every year. 10 years in a row, we've been awarded 5 stars. This marks the 11th year. So what did we get? It's a whopping 5 stars. Goodness, I was worried for a moment there. What's this? Master, you did what? Using that flood? Goodness gracious, we have to find a way to say thanks. All we are left with is the implication that Mario somehow saved some children using his flood, but not how it was accomplished, how many children there were, and what species those children were. This line is either from the middle of a previous trouble or the beginning of a third. Oh goodness, Master Mustache, you have to return the town to normal. You're our only hope. This is followed by a mention of the other towns, as hinted by Yoshiaki Koizumi. I've just received a call. It seems that the other towns are also in trouble. Goodness, what a bind! And finally, this line appears to be for the state where everyone's troubles are solved. Oh, I've just received a call. Guess what they said, Master Mustache? The other towns are doing great. Perhaps we'll manage a 5-star rating for the whole island. This concludes the text file. It is time to recap. The entirety of this unused text paints a picture of a completely different game experience from that found in the final release. The island's locations are connected by train stations that are apparently extremely important fixtures of the towns. There is a whole host of unused NPCs with much more involved multi-part quests than anything in the finished game. Mario must solve problems by carrying around items and in at least one case using a nozzle to move around an NPC. And there are some environmental puzzles like opening and closing floodgates to presumably change the water level. If we compare this to the game we played, the interactions with NPCs there are completely minimal in comparison. No mission involves talking to the same NPCs several times, and most dialogue is easily skipped without sacrificing understanding of the situation. It seems that this version of Super Mario Sunshine was a much more dialogue-focused experience, closer to the Paper Mario series than the mainline Mario games. It is unknown if we will ever get a Mario platformer with this level of involved NPC interactions. However, some may say we shouldn't, as that ostensibly would take away from the focus on platforming. I hope this look into the game that Super Mario Sunshine could have been but wasn't could be informative. I will leave you with a sound effect-free version of the demo music from Super Mario Sunshine, as opposed to the one with overlaid effects heard during the actual demo, found in the game's files. Thank you very much for listening.